Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
One of the biggest problems in the coronavirus fight is the media. There's a lot of bad information out there. There's a lot of politicized information out there. There's a lot of divisive information out there. And there's a lot of just downright crazy, hyperbolic, over-the-top, aggrandized, sensationalized reporting surrounding the coronavirus. And that stretches from our news media all the way to Hollywood and television. And so with that in mind, I wanted to bring on a very special guest to talk about the media and the coronavirus today on the Disruption Zone. My friend Christian Toto joining us now from the awesome website Hollywood in Toto. You also hear him on KHOW, K-H-O-W, in Denver, Colorado, every few Fridays or so with the great Michael Brown. And you can follow him at Hollywood in Toto on Twitter. And he is a media critic extraordinaire. And I thought it would be fun to have a conversation on the Disruption Zone about how the media seems to be handling the coronavirus thing. Christian, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's good talking to you. Okay, so people know your website is really entertaining. You can go to hollywoodintoto.com, and you've just got an enormous stuff up there. It's basically, you call it the right take on entertainment. You know, you're a balanced guy, but you come at it from a conservative point of view, and you sort of give a critical take on how the media is in terms of, you know, the left-wingism that's running rampant throughout media and Hollywood and specifically. And you've got a lot of really interesting stuff on your website.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, what I try to do is, listen, half the country is not served by the Hollywood Reporter and Variety and Deadline and other outlets that cover Hollywood. So I'm catering to that, you know, the other half of the country, because that's a large group, last time I checked. But I also want to be fair. I want to give good entertainment, you know, reviews and interviews. And I would hope that someone who's left of center would come to my site and not run away screaming. They might find a lot of good information there, and hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, one section that I'm weeding through right now very furiously is the 17 must-watch Hulu movies, because we just got Hulu. And we're loving it. So that's going to be part of our binge fest list. We'll go by your recommendations there. So how did you start this? Like, why did you say, you know what I need? I need a Hollywood critic website that leans a little to the right. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, it's a long, boring story, but I'll make it as quick as possible. Failed art major, became a journalist, and I really wanted to review movies. And I kind of basically threw some sharp elbows at two different newspapers to kind of help make that happen. And then, you know, of course, the industry changed, and I moved from DC to Denver, and I thought, well, what can I do? Well, let me just start my own website and see if I could build on something. And of course, that took about 6 years before anything really kind of caught fire. And along that entire journey, I realized that people on the right weren't being listened to, weren't being addressed, and the media was increasingly drifting to the left, not just in the news coverage, but in the entertainment coverage. And I thought, well, I mean, pragmatically, I'm on the right. I see things that way. Why shouldn't I embrace it? And, you know, it's both organic to me, but it also, to me, you know, it addresses a need. It's almost like, you know, when Fox News came around, why is it so darn successful? Because Every other organization that covers the news does it from a left of center point of view.
Right.
Why wouldn't you have a right of center news outlet? It just makes sense. So that's where I come in. Very few people do what I do. And, I'm just doing the best I can at this point. It's been fun.
And just so people know, your website is not, hey, I'm Joe Republican, this movie sucks. You know, that's not really, you're not countering necessarily so much as you are using your own personal worldview to sift through what's happening in Hollywood. And so much of Hollywood is easily siftable right now. I mean, there's just so much going on in terms of, you know, the wokeness of the way that they're writing things that just becomes so unrealistic at some point, the overt politicization of most of our movies these days. I mean, there's just so much material there.
There is, and I will kind of make a distinction. when I review a movie, let's just say, I'll mention, oh, this was very woke or this had a lot of messaging in it.
Right.
But I'm not going to say don't see it for those reasons.
Right.
I just want to let people know what to expect. And my sort of my favorite recent example is a movie called Booksmart from last year. It was the most woke movie you will ever see. I can't imagine anyone out-woking that film. But you know what? It was good. It was funny. It was smart. It was different. It was very creatively packaged. And I'm not going to avoid any of that in my review. I'm gonna highlight it. So I'll say, hey, listen, it's going to lecture you, but it really does entertain. So, you know, I want people to know they can trust me and not just say, hey, if it's left of center, my thumb is going to go down in the, you know, the grand Siskel and Ebert tradition. It's not the case.
You, before we get into the coronavirus stuff aspect of the media, you have a review on your website of the movie The Hunt. And people may remember this movie made a huge amount of controversy because it was all set to come out earlier on in Trump's presidency, but it was going to come out right around the time I think there was a mass shooting that was politically driven, and so it got pulled off, and there was a lot of discussion of it on the right, essentially saying this was going to be an anti-Trump supporter movie. The producers pushed back somewhat. Now apparently the movie is out. Your review title is Why the Hunt May Offend Every Moviegoer, Left or Right. What was your take on that?
Well, I was being a little cheeky with that headline because it's not a good film.
Right.
And I think people from all sides of the ideological aisle will recognize that. That was my take.
Right.
But more importantly, listen, conservatives got that movie wrong. I mean, I saw from the jump that if you've got a movie where these people are hunting others, then your sympathies go to the others, the people being hunted.
Right.
So I think that, you know, I think some conservatives, I think this is changing, thank goodness, aren't as savvy as they should be about pop culture. They
yes.
need to kind of get in the game on, you know, just the way things go in our culture today. And I think they saw it as well, deplorables are being hunted. This is an anti-Trump movie. I didn't see it that way. And I think that the filmmakers, the studio, the producers did a very poor job of defending their film.
Right.
I don't think they explained it properly. That's one of the reasons why I think they had to yank it from the schedule. So in reality, the film I thought was a little bit tilted in favor of the conservatives. I thought that the movie mocked these liberal elites and their woke virtue signaling. But at the end of the day, my ultimate judgment was, I thought it was dumb. I don't think it was well crafted.
Right.
I thought it was sort of over the top. I think that the messages in there about sort of, you know, aren't we all silly for fighting like this? We're muted by the bad storytelling. So that's my ultimate reaction. But again, conservatives should always be on the side of it's free speech, it's free expression.
Right.
Let the marketplace decide if this is a bomb or a hit.
I thought that it seemed to me like a clunky, cartoonish version with more firepower of the Hunger Games. You know, it was like the Hunger Games, obviously, I thought leaned a little left, but it had a lot of really good dystopian warning type, you know, totalitarian state type messages in it. And it was much better put together. And then something like this comes along, it just seems hokey and contrived and, you know, over the top in a way that when you combine that with sort of gory violence and jarring, you know, gratuitous just killing people, it's jarring. You know what I mean? It doesn't have any depth to it.
Yeah, listen, I don't even mind a glib grindhouse exploitation kind of story. It's just, and I don't want you to give away more reasons why I didn't like the movie. It sort of gets into spoiler territory. It's just not well thought out.
Right.
And I think there's some real issues there. But again, you could, you know, if you're a storyteller and this is the take you want to have on it, that's fine. And, you know, during the Bush years, there was a movie called Death of a President. It was sort of a faux documentary about an assassination on President George W. Bush. I thought it was ghoulish, but I wasn't going to say, don't make that movie.
Right.
It's sort of the downside of being in a free country where you get kind of ghoulish stuff like that. But again, it also allows for great art and allows for great expression. And maybe there were good conversations that came out of that movie. That's the way Western culture operates. And
right.
I wouldn't want to change that.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest issues I have with the woke culture is that it is attempting to shut down and silence its, you know, its opponents. That there is a segment of the right that would do the same thing. And the more we have these conversations, the better. I'm seeing something develop in the coronavirus now where, you know, I've been talking about, you know, needing to have a plan to move forward economically. We can't stay in lockdown and fear forever. I agree with the current stipulations that we should all stay at home, probably at least until mid-April, potentially the 1st of May. But beyond that, the economic consequences become so dire that it would kill more people than the virus would. But you just bring that up and you become a virus denier. You're a climate denier. You know, it's crazy. You're a denier when you bring up sort of an opposing point of view and say, I just want to talk about this for a few minutes.
And I think that's an example of how our national conversation has spoiled. And I mean that in the most exaggerated term, where, you know, we need to have a conversation about race, but if you say the wrong thing, well, then you're canceled.
Right.
And we have to have a conversation about how we get past this virus. Well, if you suggest that, you know, getting back to business might save lives and that it's we need to have that kind of uncomfortable chat, then you're a monster. You're pro Trump. You love the corporations. It's absurd, but we've been all been building to this. You know, I thought, when Trump came around, I thought, you were so divided. People hate him so much. But what if a 9/11 style thing happened to our country? How would we react? And I always had this hope that we would come together. Now, I know that 9/11 and this is very different, but in ways it's not. It's a crisis. It affects the country. We're all in a panic. There are definite similarities there, and we're failing that test. The media, I don't think, could fail it any harder. And I think that people just rallying around their hate for Trump is ridiculous. I despise Obama as a leader. I just thought he was terrible. But if he was in charge right now, I would be rooting for him.
Right.
I would be hanging on his every word. I'd be, you know, if he expressed hope, I'd be clinging to it. If he said something positive, I'd be rallying around it. This is not the time for pettiness. This is not that moment.
Right.
We had that moment before. I hope we'll have it again soon. This is not that moment.
Yeah.
And to see how the media has reacted is unfathomable. And as bad as they've been for the last 3 years, they've sunk in so much lower now. I don't know how they sleep at night. I really don't.
Yeah.
They have no shame. They have no pride. They have no dignity. And how dare they? And I'll use a Greta phrase. How dare they behave this fashion?
Well, I agree with you. In fact, there's no greater example than now. You know, we see this poll that comes out yesterday from Gallup that shows 60% of Americans, left and right, see the president as leader, as a good leader during this. They are appreciative of his leadership during this coronavirus thing. And what is the first reaction? We immediately start hearing tales of CNN and MSNBC talking about no longer airing his coronavirus updates because they're full of lies. So you have the media now saying, you know what? You are liking hearing from the president. We can't have any of that. And it's funny because they're willing to cut off their own, you know, toe to despite their foot when they're getting the best ratings they've had in forever because people are so hungry for information, but they're willing to kill that off because they don't want this guy's message to get out. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and a quick note on that. Everything you said is right, but one of my Twitter friends who follows the media aggressively and I trust noticed that when the media cut away from Trump's presser yesterday, it was basically just when he handed it over to the doctors, the experts, the medical community.
Oh, that's
isn't that what we want to hear from the most? Isn't even if you say Trump is full of lies, let's just go with that argument. Well, he just handed the mic over to the doctors. Don't we want to hear from them?
Right.
Why did you just cut coverage? It is staggering. And by the way, when they say the lies, they either don't say exactly what the lies are, or the lies in question are often either misinterpretations or, like when Trump said, you know, I'd like to have things, you know, getting back to normal by Easter. He's clearly being aspirational.
Sure.
I mean, wouldn't it be nice? And they say, well, this just in, Trump sets firm deadline for Easter. You know, if deaths are rising, he will just make everything go back to normal. It was cartoonishly misinterpreting what he said. So I don't trust them. I haven't trusted them for the last 3 years. I will never trust the media again. And by the way, when Trump is gone and he's out of the picture from a political perspective, and there's another Republican in there, do you really think that they're going to switch to fair and balanced mode? This is their new normal.
Right.
This is how the media operates. They've thrown off any shackle of objectivity. And if it's Pence, if it's Nikki Haley, whoever it is, you're going to see very similar coverage. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. To your point, one of the most ridiculous things I've seen from the media so far has been elements and pundits within the media trying to blame this guy in Arizona that drank aquarium cleaner fluid because it had the chloroquine in it, and he died. And his wife is in critical condition. And, of course, the media rushes to her side and interviews her, and she says, don't believe anything President Trump says. He lied. He said it was a cure. I never heard the president say it was a cure. I heard the president say that it was a potential therapeutic, that there was a lot of evidence that it was helpful to those who have it. And, of course, he was very specifically talking about the drug that is approved for treating malaria, not aquarium cleaner. And so the media is like this incredible stretch. I mean, I think even people on the left recognize how stupid this is, trying to blame the president for this guy's death when he drank a bottle of something that has warning labels all over it because you're not supposed to drink aquarium cleaner fluid.
When the dust settles in this whole chapter, we need to look back at the media coverage, and this will be exhibit A, B, C, and Z on how badly they bungled their job. I cannot imagine a more cartoonish, more hysterical storyline. And it wasn't just one outlet. It was outlet after outlet, and they all seem to be outdoing each other. I think I'm not going to mention the outlet because I want to make sure I get it right.
Yeah.
But one of them in their Twitter sort of preview of the story showed a packet of pills indicating that this was what the person took. No, it was fish tank cleaner. That was obviously not any packet of pills. So not only was it a lie, was it a misdirection, was it nonsense, they used an image that doubled and tripled down on the lie. It is staggering.
Do you think there's a cure for that? Because I'm with you. I'm libertarian in the way of thinking that we need absolute freedom of the press. It is designed to keep our politicians in check. I get that. But when you go so far as to literally not, I mean, that's to me, that's a bald face. That's a media version of a bald face lie. To put a picture up that insinuates, and we're seeing a lot of that with some of the headlines, you know, we'll get the numbers of cases. This morning there was a headline on my Apple phone. My Apple alert came on. I go on the Apple phone headlines, and it says very, you know, breathlessly that the president says that we're doing more testing than any other country in the world, but that comment lacks context because it doesn't include population of the United States. And I was like, you know what, this is a true statement. But the same media is out there comparing our number of cases to Italy and saying we're, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, and I'm like, this is exactly the same thing reversed. I agree. The president's statement lacked context. He should have clarified that our testing is going up, of course, but as a nation of 330 million people, we're not where we need to be right now. But at the same time, the media will report that we have 50 or 60 or 70,000 cases and compare us to Italy when they have less than a third of our population.
I think it was Nick Searcy on Twitter, the great actor who's also a very strong conservative. He said on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, if Obama was in charge right now, the questions the press would be asking would be, you know, how are you holding up? How are you doing?
Right.
What is your
right.
Netflix
yes.
must-see list?
Yes.
Those are the questions they would be asking him.
How do you feel?
You can't look at the media that basically, you know, called him the healer in chief, the uniter in chief, the dad in chief, and then they swung so dramatically into full attack mode on Trump and say, oh yeah, these folks are calling it, you know, just like they see it. I mean, it's absurd. It's been absurd for 3 years, and it's gotten much worse right now. It's really shocking. And you know what? When they were being absurd 2 months ago, it was political. Now there are lives at stake. Now everything's changed. Everything's different. And the fact that they need to kind of pursue him, like the three guys in Jaws at the end of the movie, you know, trying to get that shark. It's unbelievable. And where are the heroes? Where are the people within the journalistic community who are saying stop? Who are saying maybe calling their peers out, throwing down the gauntlet, saying you cannot do this. You're killing our industry, and they are. And you mentioned, like, what do? You're a libertarian. I agree. I just think that people will completely tune out, not trust them, and they'll have to either rally or fade away. I don't know what replaces journalism in the future,
right.
But it is. I'm out of words, and I've been out of words for quite a while. But I'm trying to find new ones because it deserves every bit of condemnation.
Yeah, the word I'm looking for is journalistic malpractice. And I'm like, there's a fine line between bias. You know, when I started out in radio, I started out in the news. And I was in a network newsroom, and I was the only conservative in the building. And my boss, who remains a friend of mine to this day and a mentor of mine, came to me one day and he said, and he's a guy that used to work for ABC and all the big networks. And he came to me and he said, look, Leland, he goes, you cannot be unbiased. It's not physically possible. You're a conservative. I'm a liberal. We're going to have biases because our life is our life. He goes, what you must be, what you can be and what you must be is fair. And that stuck with me because I understood in that moment, you're right. Everybody has a worldview that is colored by how they were raised, where they were raised, what their culture is, etc. There's nothing wrong with that. It's inescapable. It's unavoidable. It's part of our identity. But what people of varying points of view can be and must be in a working society is fair. And that's what's gone out the window with the media. I understand that the vast majority of people that are in media lean to the left politically, but they've lost a sense of fairness and a sense of ethicalness in what they do. And they believe that they're being ethical by fronting their agenda as opposed to being fair.
A quick note on a program you should not watch. I'll warn you away from it. It's on HBO right now. It's called After Truth. It's about fake news. And it's hysterical if it wasn't so sad, because in an age where fake news is rampant across the media, this particular documentary hyper-focuses on a couple of charlatans, on the Pizzagate scandal, on the death of Seth Rich, basically going very granular on very specific issues on fake news while ignoring the plethora of massive fake news stories we've seen. I couldn't have imagined a more cartoonish presentation, an absolute gaslighting 101 session, but that's what it is. It's called After Truth on HBO. If you've got a stronger stomach than me, you should watch it, I guess. I had to endure it because it's my job, but it's another sort of exhibit to put in the museum of fake news. It is unbelievable.
I think any fake news, any real story about fake news has to go back and start with Dan Rather's infamous fake documents on President George W. Bush, and it somehow has to work its way through. I can't remember which one. I'm trying to remember which NBC commentator it was, but that falsely pegged in the Aurora shooting, the theater shooting, the guy with the exact same name who happened to head up the Tea Party at the time in the Denver area, and they falsely accused him of that. You know, there's so much fake news coming from the left that goes all the way back. But you're right, it's just accelerated, I think, in the last 3 years due to a specific hatred of this one particular guy. But I don't know how they fix it. Let's talk a little bit about Hollywood itself, starting with the it's just hilarious how they immediately go to, they sort of default to this place like we all care what they think. You know, the economy is collapsing all around us. Millions of people woke up one day and had a nice 401k going and woke up the next day and everything was gone and have no idea how things are going forward. But the wonderful Gal Gadot and many other celebrities got together and sang us Imagine. And it felt so right. You know, it was just, it fixed the country in that moment. What is it with celebrities that they think, you know, doing something like that is somehow brave or helping America and that we all want to hear from them in these moments of crisis?
I mean, they're out of touch. Everything they say is treated as if it was the most important thing in the world. And part of this is our fault as a celebrity culture. We kind of genuflect toward them.
Yeah.
So if Gal Gadot has a new wrinkle cream therapy, it's front page news.
Right.
And whenever there's a political debate going on, the reporters will ask them about it breathlessly as if they're experts. So that's part of it. I think they're disconnected from, the rest of the world. I think that they're surrounded by people who say yes and no, yes and yes and more yes to them.
Right.
I think it's all these things. I think they're completely unaware that there's another side of the news and another ideology that it deserves respect and attention, if not a total agreement. And I think you get that Imagine video where they sing Imagine No Possessions while they have all the possessions anyone could possibly want.
Right, right. These are not, these are people who are hunkering down in gated neighborhoods behind walls and with armed security, and have, they've always had all of their food delivered and cooked for them. So, you know, they can't possibly even fathom what the average person who's out here fighting for a roll of toilet paper can do, has to deal with.
Yeah.
There was a piece this morning on Page Six that was gloriously touting the bravery of these beautiful celebrities going without makeup now that they have no red carpets, and they're posting their pictures makeup free to show America that they're just like them. You know, and it's just, it's more of that same thing where it's like, do you even realize what people are going through in the real world? I mean, you've got so much money that this isn't even going to be a blip on your radar in 6 months, you know?
To me, listen, everyone feels hopeless. Everyone is struggling with what to do best. If you're a celebrity and you've got millions of dollars, what I would do is I'd write a lot of checks to a lot of good causes.
Yeah.
And I would talk about it, and I would gently shame my fellow superstars into doing the same. And, you know, some people have done that. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. James Taylor wrote a $1 million check to a hospital. So, I don't want to kind of condemn the entire community, but
right.
You should see a freakish amount of giving right now from Hollywood, because they are gazillionaires. And yeah. I don't, you know, I'm not the guy who's like, well, you know, you shouldn't have that money. They've earned that money.
Right.
But in today's climate right now, with an unprecedented situation, wouldn't it be wonderful if their, you know, if their accounts went from 30 million to maybe 26 million, you know, and they know that right. Once things get back to normal, the paychecks will start coming again. They'll be doing their Fast and Furious 12, 13, and 14, the next Batman.
Right.
You know, they're good. Can you please write some big checks and be selfless and stop the politics and stop saying Trump's killing people?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if this was Obama in charge and there were people saying Obama's killing people and Obama's, if there was a fake news barrage against President Obama, I would be outraged by it.
Right.
Because he wouldn't deserve that.
Right.
That's what we need.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really fascinating too. Like I guess it's just obtuse. It's just tone deaf. You know, and this doesn't have anything to do with Hollywood, but right now, you know, Joe Biden, he wants to be president, and he's talking about unifying the country. That's his whole campaign, is that he wants to return to unity. And his thing now is that he's broadcasting from his basement these rambling contradictions to anything the president says, but not offering any new plan. He's literally dividing America as we speak. I mean, that is exactly what he's doing. And to that point, there's a lot of, like, back to Hollywood. I mean, I hate to jump around here, but there's a lot of statements by Hollywood people that just is so clearly ignorant, you know, like Alyssa Milano, who is just a brain powerhouse. She writes on Twitter, she writes, Trump owns how many hotels in the U.S. and how many in New York in particular? He should offer to turn them into hospitals until this pandemic is over. We need beds. He's got them. And I'm just like, do you even know how anything works? The president has no control over any decision that any of his companies are making right now, because he has to put them in a blind trust, because that's the law. He can't tell his hotels what to do. He can't tell them to shut down. He can't tell them to open up. He can't tell them to raise prices or lower prices. He can't do it.
And that's one of the reasons why I started Hollywood in Toto, because that kind of fact-checking doesn't happen in the media at all.
Right.
Celebrities can say the wildest things, and they're basically either regurgitated, or if they're too silly, they're too over the top, they're too insane, the media does this nice little trick. They don't cover it.
Yeah.
That way, they can't get in trouble. They know that if they covered it, they would be making those celebrities look awful.
Right. And the thing is, if there's a celebrity that dares to be quasi-conservative, they will destroy them with any comment that they make, you know. So
yeah,
it's a double standard. You mentioned Ryan Reynolds. I got to give hats off to him, a shout out to him, because that tweet that he did making fun of the celebrities was really hilarious. Naming all the different types of people, including mannequins, who were more important than celebrities' points of view in this time. That was a pretty good bit, and I retweeted that yesterday. So where from here, Christian Toto, where from here? Because we're in this place where, you know, I said the other day that the generation of my grandparents was marked by collecting tinfoil for the war effort and young men storming the beaches of Normandy. And that is what we remember, is their character of that generation. I'm afraid that our generation, that my generation, is going to be remembered for fighting over toilet paper.
Well, you know, I understand where that gets a lot of attention, but I'm also seeing lots and lots of acts of kindness. Just a quick example from Hollywood. It was an actress, Barbara Crampton, is sort of a horror scream queen type of actress. And someone reached out to her and wanted her kid wanted a happy birthday greeting. And she's like, "Oh, I'll make a video. I'll send it to you." And like, there are lots of sort of decency moments happening in our culture. You know, I went to the store and people sort of quietly acknowledging what we're all going through and being courteous and kind. So, you know, it doesn't get the attention it deserves, but I do think there's a lot of decency going on right now, and the toilet paper fights get more attention. But I think in many ways, I think there's hospital workers and doctors who are just literally sacrificing their lives to make sure that people get better. So it is happening, and I think we should focus on that and give them the attention they deserve.
Well, I agree with you, and I think it's good to bring that up too. You know, I heard a story the other day that there were a lot of companies that are basically shut down right now because they can't work. They're rounding up, you know, a lot of companies are in industrial and manufacturing and construction, and they're rounding up their own masks that they use. There's construction masks that are like P95 masks. They work as well. And they're rounding them up and just taking them to local hospitals. There's a lot of stories like that. And I would encourage people, if you're listening to this podcast, go check on your elderly neighbor, you know, stay 6 feet away, but make sure they have what they need. I'm frustrated that there's never any eggs or toilet paper in the grocery store, but if you find an extra pack, man, buy one for them, you know?
Yep.
Because I do think the vast majority of people are taking this in stride. And I also am optimistic that America bounces back from this. I just hope our politicians will make the right decisions and start to think about how are we going to open back up now, as opposed to how are we going to stay hunkered down forever.
Yeah, I think the country's ready to bounce back, and I think the media is gonna be fighting and scratching to keep it from bouncing back, or at least the appearance of bouncing back, and that will make me even angrier, and it should make everyone angry.
Yeah. Well, you can follow him on Twitter. It's at HollywoodInToto, and the website is HollywoodInToto.com. It's great stuff. And if you're hungry for a review of movies and theater, television shows, but you just don't want the left-wing tripe, HollywoodInToto is your source to go to it. Thanks for your time, man. We appreciate it. We appreciate you coming on with us. Will you do it again sometime?
Absolutely. And hopefully when things are calming down and life is better again.
Fantastic. All right, Christian, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right. The Disruption Zone. I love that guy. He is terrific. And, you know, just really very straight to the point and brutal on the left-wing media. And we need to hear more of that. They need to be held to account. So check out his website. It's HollywoodInToto.com. My co-executive producer is Cameron Mills and also my co-host. He'll be back with us next week for some episodes. We're going to do some episodes not so much about the coronavirus, you know, about other things in life. So we'll get to that. Thanks to Dynamics Productions in Lexington, Kentucky for their help on the production side of this program. It's dxaudio.com. Whether you're just trying to restore some old videos, some old home videos that you want to get to a digital format your family can see now, or you're working on a major Hollywood production or anywhere in between, Neil Kesterson is your guy. He's the greatest audio producer I know, and it's dxaudio.com. For more information on that, you can follow us on Twitter. It's at Leland Show and at Zone Disruption, because some jackwagon took the Disruption Zone. You can follow us on Instagram. It's at The Disruption Zone and at Great Lelondo. And of course, we are available wherever podcasts are found. iHeartRadio has signed us up. We are on the iHeartRadio app. You can download us there if you have that app on your phone. Also on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. We are all over there as well. Spreaker. Wherever podcasts are found, the best thing you can do for me is to share this podcast, send it to your friends, download it, have it downloaded to your phone automatically, become a subscriber. It's free. The best thing you can do is share this. You expand our voice and make this message more powerful. It's all about you. Thanks for listening. I am Leland Conway, The Disruption Zone.